Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the line, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philadelphia, does a brilliant job. Dave Zingara. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys.
Dave, hold on a minute. Before I even get into sports, because we shoot the breeze all the time, tell me you don't love the smell of a brand new unworn sneaker, like before you put it on for the first time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Have you ever been asked that question by a man before?
I have not, to my knowledge. Yeah, it's an okay smell. It's not like a new car, but it's okay.
This is off to a horrible start. Dave, let's get into the Eagles here. There have been several names mentioned to fill the Eagles' offensive coordinator position. Some have taken other jobs. Some have simply declined to stay where they are at. Is there something we're not seeing? I would think, you know, candidates would jump at the opportunity to join the Eagles organization and a winning organization. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I think the most obvious thing is pretty clear that it's not a play-calling job. And it's kind of, I mean, that's a big deal for offensive coaches. They want to be able to call plays. They want to be able to kind of put their own spin on the offense. And it's not going to completely ruin your chances to get a good coordinator, but it's going to take some people out of the running, and I think we've seen that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not a terrible job, really. I mean, look, the last – obviously, Mike Groh got fired, but Frank Reich got a head coaching job out of it.
Yeah. Didn't hurt him.
So it's not like, it's not like you can't move up with this job, and you have a good quarterback, you have a pretty stable franchise. I don't think it's a bad job. I think the Eagles are taking their time. It's a little surprising to me that they haven't moved a little quicker on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your opinion, although Doug will publicly say this is his choice and his choice alone, Howie and Jeffrey Lurie have a say in this, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do. I think we all know that, right? I mean, maybe it is Doug's decision, but if you have a decision to make, right, and both of your bosses are strongly encouraging you to make it one way, which way are you probably going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that could be the case here. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but to me, Doug's kind of earned the right to just make his decision. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He's had a lot of success over the 4 years he's been here. But it certainly seems like, and they'll call it a collaborative effort, mm-hmm. because that's their favorite word, but it seems a little bit like they're using kid gloves with him and they're kind of helping him make this decision.
Do you think there's something to it? Because I know Rube did a column on it at NBC Sports the other day, that some of Doug's positional coaches that he picked out have not really worked out that well, and that maybe they think they need to oversee it?
Maybe. I mean, and that's a valid question, because you kind of look at the guys he's hired, and that's been great. And I think the whole franchise realizes there was a point where, you know, Andy was at his best when his staffs were at their best here in Philly, and there was a point where the staff kind of dropped off because he had done such a good job of getting people jobs other places. And then we saw a little decline. And I think the franchise is just super aware of that. And they realize how important it is to have a good staff around him. So I think they're just trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. And they're trying to kind of protect him from himself.
Is Kafka a choice, or is Andy going to block him if he's not calling the plays?
It's interesting. I think he's on the table. Andy blocking him is a possibility, but it's kind of weird because his MO has always been to get his guys upward mobility and get them new jobs. So I'm not sold on the idea of him blocking him. You know, I think that would make a lot of sense. I know that was a name that we all kind of came up with right away when they fired Mike Rowe. It makes a lot of sense. Familiarity is a big thing in this league, and right or wrong, that's the way a lot of these guys get jobs. So, to me, that makes a lot of sense. We'll see if Andy blocks them. For Andy's sake, I mean, from a football standpoint, it makes sense to block them because you would think Eric Bieniemy would get a job sooner or later. He should have had one already, yeah, to be really. Honest with you. So, you know, they have to plan for that possibility that if Bieniemy leaves, and they have their offensive coordinator waiting.
Dave Zingaro, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philly, nice enough to join us. Dave, every NFL team who, you know, is not playing in the Super Bowl right now is trying to figure out how far away are we from these two teams who are participating February the 2nd. When you look at the Eagles roster, do you say, well, if it wasn't for injuries, the Eagles very well could have represented the NFC, or are they further away than maybe people think?
It's interesting because I think there are actually two answers to this question. The first one is, in this playoff run, I think if they would have beaten Seattle, I think they really would have had a great chance to get to San Francisco. I don't think they would have beaten the 49ers, but I think they would have had a shot to at least get there. But that's still some fool's gold because I think this team is a good ways away. They have a lot of work to do this offseason. And particularly at two positions, and we all know what they are, it's receiver and corner. They need a lot of work there. They might need some more pass rush. Other than that, I mean, they have a good base right now, but the base is getting older. And they have, and you know, Howie was very honest about needing to kind of infuse this team with some youth. The way you do that is through the draft, and I don't know who's very confident right now that, you know, they have 10 picks coming up. Do we all think they're going to nail these picks? I mean, I think there should be real skepticism about that. If they do, then they have a real opportunity this draft to get younger and to find some stud players, but I'll kind of believe it when I see it.
Well, is there something that, you know, Roseman can learn from either, was it John Lynch or forget the GM's name in Kansas City, that he can learn from and maybe use as a blueprint moving forward? Or you think it's just he just had a stroke of bad luck and, you know, he knows what it takes?
I think he knows what it takes. I think there are some lessons from this past season with the Eagles, especially with the older players and all the injuries we saw. It's not just the old guys who got hurt, but that plays a factor. I think that it's constantly changing, and it's, you know, you can't just look at a Super Bowl team and say, I'm going to make that team, because what works the next year might be completely different. That's what makes it so hard to get to the Super Bowl, and it makes what the Patriots did for over a decade incredible, because the target's always moving, and you have to move with it. And it's kind of like what we've seen the last years. The Eagles tried to get their Super Bowl team back together, and even if they did, there's no guarantee that that team gets to the Super Bowl. It's a finicky business, and I think that that's the lesson. It's that you constantly have to be willing to change and find new ways to make it work. And I think Howie understands that, but it's a lot different, you know, understanding and then putting it into action.
Well, he's got to reevaluate maybe how he looks at wide receivers in the draft, because
Absolutely.
They, you know, missed on several of them. Unless
yeah,
you think,
do the opposite. Go Costanza, full yeah. Costanza. You like a guy, pick the other guy.
Exactly. I mean, well, the one and the reason when I asked about that is one of the things you were. I guess we had kind of. I mean, I know I did all assumed Andrew Berry was leaving for Cleveland. That's the Eagles VP of operations. But your recent columns said it's more likely he stays. Why is that?
Well, Cleveland has another guy they like better, George Patton, who.
So it's not that the Eagles are trying to keep him. It's just that, you know, he might just.
Oh,
remain.
No, I think the Eagles would really like
okay,
to keep
gotcha.
Him.
Okay, gotcha.
Because they've blocked, so far, they've blocked Carolina because that wouldn't be a real GM job because he wouldn't have final say there. So. They're happy to let him move on if he gets a GM job. They're not going to stop him from that. But they want to keep him. And the problem ultimately here for Andrew Berry is that he's going to be a GM one day. He's 32 years old. He's a heck of a lot smarter than me. And he's going to get a GM job at some point. They're going to try to keep him as long as they can. And they made that position for him a year ago. It wasn't like they needed to hire someone. They just really liked him and wanted to bring him in the building. But they're not going to be able to keep him for very long.
Has your confidence, and you're just talking about, you know, have Howie do the op, pull the Costanza, has your confidence as someone who's around the team 10 months a year, is your confidence in Howie taking a bit of a hit?
It's a tough question to answer, because it's not like he was ever, you know, nailing draft after draft. I think what Howie is good at, he's always been good at, right? I mean, he's inventive. He finds ways to get talent. He pulls off trades. He's aggressive, even more so in a second stint. He's been very aggressive. He's normally pretty smart with the cap. There are some missteps along the way. Thinking guaranteeing Alshon's contract is at the top of that list right now.
How does he come back?
Yeah.
That's a tough spot. You know, we do our Fair Go series every year, and it'd be so easy to just say go because, you know, you can't have him around.
But the money.
The money, and he's injured, and it makes it really tough. And guaranteeing his contract is a huge blunder. That felt like a move to, you know, let's give Alshon some money. He's been good for us. And, you know, they didn't really need the cap flexibility as much as they said they did. So, yeah, that was a big blunder. So there have been missteps along the way, but throughout the whole time he's been the GM, that's really been one of Howie's strengths, his salary cap, his aggressiveness, his inventiveness. So I still have confidence in that part of it. But the whole idea when they brought in Joe Douglas, and then I guess when they promoted Andy Weidel, is that's supposed to be the draft guy. Mm. You know, that's supposed to be the complement to Howie's skills, is to find someone who excels in the draft. And Joe Douglas got a GM job out of it. And I look back at the drafts while he was here, and it's not like they were nailing a lot of those. I know Howie has final say, but I think there are real questions about their evaluation process and some of the players they've ended up with in the draft.
Final question I have for you, Dave, and it kind of circles back to Alshon. When, going back a couple years, when there were rumors of unhappy players in the locker room with the quarterback in Seattle, their front office didn't even hesitate. They said, no, Russell Wilson's our guy. All these guys are complaining. You guys are out of here. We'll bring in somebody else. Russell Wilson is the franchise. Now we move forward to the Eagles. Carson Wentz is the most important player to the franchise. Even though Alshon's owed, what, $21 million, some insane amount of money, you can't have him come back, can you?
Having him injured in a weird way might keep him away from everything. He's going to be rehabbing. He's not really going to be with the team a ton. So I think that it might be able to work from that perspective. And they're probably not going to cut him while he's rehabbing.
Right.
So you're probably just stuck with this guy until he's at least healthy. And you know, the only way you could really get rid of him is if you pull like a Brock Osweiler trade, and you'd have to trade him with a draft pick to incentivize another team to take on what is kind of an outlandish salary for the player he is right now. I guess that's possible, but we know how much Howie wants these draft picks, so it's kind of hard to imagine.
Dave Zangaro, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philadelphia. For links to all his stories and, of course, the latest Eagles news, follow him on Twitter at the letter D, Zangaro, NBCS. Dave, appreciate it, man.
John, just bought some shoes. I'm going to go and give a good sniff. So.
Everybody's a funny person. Dave, appreciate it, man. Jonesy, have you ever had a teammate who was just completely disruptive, always miserable, made just, you know, everyday life with the team a real pain?
Why are you looking at me, Al?
No, Jonesy was one of those guys that undid that.
Jonesy's the stone buster, right? He can loosen things up a little bit?
For the most part. There were a couple of guys nobody could get to, but Jonesy did the best of anybody.
I can honestly tell you I never played with a guy like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hockey, would you say you're fortunate?
Think it's pretty common in hockey that you don't have players like that.
Who was the guy that you played? You did play with a guy in Colorado, though. Wasn't Lemieux?
Well, yeah, I played, but he was a great guy.
Oh, he was a great guy, but he wasn't. Oh, okay,
he was not well liked on the ice because of the stuff he did. But he was
But you guys
awesome
loved
teammate.
Him. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
He was a unique teammate. He kind of did his own thing, mm-hmm. but he was a good guy to play with.
Al, you ever cover a player like that? That was just you know like an Alshon. Maybe whether it's
The weirdest player I ever covered was Lindros. But he had this tremendous talent, and he actually had a good sense of humor.
Of all the things that Lindros was, what made him so different?
He'd complain about things that, like, you know, the practice ice and, like, just you're having fun, you're a young guy. I think he just came with so much baggage from his mom and dad and everything. He just was always under a spotlight. But he would he wasn't as just didn't seem happy. Like most guys are happy to go to practice.
To death.
I mean, they were really most guys. You go to practice; it's fun.
You watch him practice and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody practiced harder than him.
Everything was game speed, game mode for him?
Oh, he hit in practice. I mean,
he was the ultimate guy to lead by example in the way that he practiced. John LeClair was the same, too. I remember getting to Philly and going, holy cow, these guys are unbelievable.
Did they ruffle feathers because they go over the top?
No, they didn't.
Because they were the leaders,
wasn't like
right?
That. They just, that's how they were. Like they worked on every aspect of their game.
Yeah, he was
They
just...
never took a practice off. It was a... There's a real work ethic that came with Lindros.
He seems sad from times.
I'm glad you guys bring this up. Does this now? Do you think this is something that the Sixers are lacking?
What,
that type of killer instinct, always in game mode?
Well,
this is how
league.
You're a professional. This is how
but
you.
But that league is basically a lot of nights off, right?
Did you ever watch Crosby practice?
Oh, no, I have not.
It is
he's a machine.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
and I mean, how old? What, 48?
For Crosby's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking. Yeah. Who were you talking about earlier?
Lemieux.
No, not Lemieux. He played here.
Lindros.
No,
LeClaire.
I'm trying to think of the player who used to have the keys to the.
Rod Brindamore. That's right. Brindamore's the guy that you used to have to lock out.
No, Crosby practices.
You literally had to lock Brindamore out to keep
Yager,
out of the facility?
Too.
Yager, that's who I was thinking.
Oh, Yager as well, okay.
Yager wouldn't come to a place unless they gave him the keys to the practice.
That's true,
really?
That's right.
Yeah,
he'd open it at midnight after games and go work out as well.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of the older guys would do that, but if you look at Crosby's game, and Flyer fans will get a look at it tonight, he never stops moving. And in practice, it's the same way. He is a phenomenal practice player. The intensity at which he does every drill carries forward in the way that he plays the game. There's the ultimate respect from players that play with him and then guys that have the chance to play internationally with him on how he prepares. And if there's anything lacking in his game, he figures out a way. Unlike Simmons, who we're talking about now, who refuses to kind of develop that three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
If it was face-offs, Crosby worked all summer and became better. If it was, scoring on the backhand, he found ways to develop the backhand. If it was turning on a dime, he found ways to skate better and never was satisfied until he was the best player in the game.
888-729-9494.
And thus ends the praising of Sidney Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
Can we stop that now?
He'll be booed tonight, but he'll be there.
Yeah, they host the Penguins tonight. You guys on hold. Don't go anywhere. Take your calls on the other side. And Al Morgani brought something up that was just so bizarre that we're going to discuss on the other side as well. And it has to do with a head coach and eating of the equipment. It sounds bizarre, but it's 100% true. Our time's 8:18.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.